This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit, with Father Don Hying, Rector of St. Francis de Sales Seminary.
Brought to you this week by Senglob Financial Group, reminding you to support pro-life causes.
And now, Father Don Hying.
Good morning. Welcome to the New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is Father Don Hying, Rector of the Seminary and host of this program, where we share with you stories of the people and events taking place at St. Francis de Sales. I've said many times that this year we have 35 men in priestly formation studying for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. The majority of them study right here in Milwaukee at St. Francis and receive their formation locally as they prepare themselves to serve our local parish, our local diocese, and perhaps your parish one day. However, some of our men study overseas, to be specific, at the North American College in Rome. If you've listened to the show regularly last year, you'll be familiar with the fact that John Gibson's parents were on the show and talked about their experience of being parents of a seminarian. That was a great show. Today we have their son, John, and he is joined by Jacob Strand. Jacob is in the class of 2012, and John is in the class of 2013. So ordination is looming. I'm sure that is amazing to both of you that you're that close to becoming priests. But welcome, John and Jacob. It's great to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Father.
Thanks, Father.
Tell us a little bit about your background, your family, your life before you went into the seminary, and a little bit of your vocation call. You know, how did you come to discern at relatively young age this amazing call to the priesthood of Jesus Christ? Let's start with you, John.
Well, I come from a family with five children. We were always raised Catholic and grew up, in the regular life of the church and living out our faith. But it was nothing really extravagant. Nothing priesthood was never a thought of my mind, really, until about my senior year of high school, going into college. And it was at that time when I really began to dive into my faith and really to live it out and seek a life lived with God and His will. And so with that transition came just a little bit of discernment and thoughts about the priesthood. And that slowly turned into a full-fledged discernment in which I eventually decided to enter the seminary. So by the help of some close friends, mm-hmm. including my pastor and some seminarians, I was able to discern in a very comfortable environment.
So you were at UWM, is that right, John?
I was, yeah.
Studying engineering,
right,
I think?
Right.
So what's more complicated, Catholic theology or engineering, do you think?
It's funny because it's probably complete opposite sides of the spectrum,
right.
But they're both difficult in their own respect. But
complexity, structure, but something that holds it all together. Right?
Certainly,
so
right.
There's some similarity. How about you, Jacob? A little bit about your family, vocation?
Yeah, in many ways, my story isn't all that different from John's. I grew up in a great family, although ours was a little more of a rural family, where John's is a little more urban. I grew up in Dousman, Wisconsin, at St. Bruno Parish here in the Archdiocese. And I have two brothers, both older, and a younger sister. When I was growing up, priesthood was never really on my mind either, but our family was very active in the parish, everything from parish dinners to going to basketball games at the parish gym every Saturday to certainly participating in the Eucharist every Sunday. And parish life and our family life really kind of intermingled all the time. So I naturally had that structure, and a lot of seeds of faith, I think, were planted within that structure at a very young age. Growing up then, I think I had a pretty typical childhood and development, and it wasn't until I was also a senior in high school that I first thought of priesthood, similar to John here. However, at that time, I did have a pretty strong influence in my life, not that he told me to think about priesthood, but it was inevitable that I would think about it because he was already in the seminary. And that's my oldest brother, Father Luke Strand. He's currently a pastor at the Parish of Holy Family in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And so when I was a senior in high school, he was already in the seminary. And so I was somewhat familiar with seminary formation and the idea of priesthood. So although no one really asked me, hey, you should be a priest too, or invited me into it, naturally, I began to think of it for the first time. However, at that time, it was pretty much out of just fear. I was pretty rooted in my faith, like I had said, and began to try to take more steps to discern the Lord's call for me in my life. However, I didn't think I wanted to be a priest when I was a senior in high school, even though I thought of it. So I just went on to college, UW-La Crosse, for 2 years. The first year, I was studying biology because I wanted to be a physician assistant, kind of excited about working in the healthcare field. And then the next year, I changed my mind, and I got into the School of Education. So I wanted to be a high school Broadfield social studies teacher. And then that only lasted for a little while. And then this idea of priesthood and the possibility that I would be called to that became a little more strong. I first entertained the idea seriously, I think, after becoming frustrated by pursuing a lot of other career paths, yet not really feeling fulfilled in them and not really feeling as though that is what God created me to do. So then after a while, I kind of put aside my own plans and made a big transformation in my life in that I stopped doing just what I wanted and began to try to sincerely pray that the Lord's will would be done in my life instead of simply what I wanted. And when I would utter that prayer, I'd be filled with a much greater sense of peace than I ever had before that. And then that peace kind of just kind of pushed me into the seminary, I guess. So I really kind of see that as the hand of God working in my life. So then I entered the college seminary, did 2 years there, and now studying theology. So the whole location's it's awesome. You know, John Paul II, when he had his 50th anniversary of his priesthood, he wrote that great book, Gift and Mystery. Mm-hmm. So he described his own vocation to the priesthood as both a gift and a mystery. And I think myself and many seminarians and priests can probably really relate. It's an amazing gift we receive from God, the vocation of the priesthood. We don't really deserve it, but we're given it. And at the same time, we can never fully understand it entirely because there's always new mysterious depths to it.
I think something both of you have in common is the sense that you moved from trying to make the decisions for your life, directing your life, into a sense of surrender and asking the question, what is it that God wants to do with my life? And that's tough for us as Americans sometimes because I think we're so self-directed, so, you know, I can create my own life, I can build my future, and it can be whatever I want it to be. You know, there's a lot of I in there. But when you really come to that point in prayer of surrender to Christ and you ask the question, Jesus, what do you want to do with my life? The answer often becomes clear, but it's oftentimes a surprising answer as well, not the answer you expect. So here's two young men, both at public universities, pursuing other projects and dreams. And you come to that sense of interior movement of surrender to the will of Christ. And you find yourselves in Rome studying for the priesthood. That's pretty amazing. We're blessed to have both of you. Now, both of you started in Rome in the first year of theology. So you went directly from the college seminary to Rome. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. And how was that decision made? How were you chosen, John?
Well, it really was the choice of the archbishop. I was sent by Archbishop Dolan his last year here in Milwaukee. And it was an invitation from him to study in Rome. You know, it's a tough decision to make at times because, you know, you're separating yourself from family, from familiarity, from comfort. And that's always a difficult thing to do. But it is, you know, with great love for Christ and his will, that we accept that invitation from the Archbishop.
So. The advantage to having some men study in Rome is multiple. I think one is that you have an experience of the universal church from the heart of the church, you know, from the place where the Holy Father is and you know, the church in all of its antiquity, you know, survived the persecutions, and there's just layers of history in Rome, obviously. We also come home after a fifth year of study, post-ordination, with essentially an STL, a licentiate, with a particular specialization in some area of theology. And I think that brings a special gift to the diocese because potentially you can teach, you can be a resource in that area of study for all of us. And I know that's certainly the thinking of both Archbishop Lestecky and Archbishop Dolan in sending some of the men to Rome. So it isn't, you know, that it's a fast track or that it's elitist or that it's better. It's a different experience of formation and perhaps a different experience of church. But the point is that you still come back here and serve, and that's a blessing for us. What has been your experience in Rome? What are some of the highlights? I mean, Rome is just an amazing place. Jacob, you've been there for a few years now. What stands out for you as a particular memory that will always be in your heart?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of them already in the first 2 years studying overseas in Rome. I remember the first time I entered my room at the North American College, the seminary in which we attend, I looked out my window and I could actually see the Dome of St. Peter's right from my window, really just a stone's throw away. It's only a 5-minute walk. And I was just kind of taken aback by that. And I thought, wow, Lord, please just allow me to be grateful for this every day, because it's an amazing gift. Being so close to the Holy Father, I think, is one of the greatest gifts of studying in Rome. Sometimes I actually feel like he's my parish pastor, you know, because we can see him every week at the Sunday Angelus at 12 noon when he comes out and greets pilgrims from around the world and they pray the Angelus together. We can attend all the papal masses, oftentimes getting a good view of him and the whole liturgy, sitting in the choir and singing with the rest of the congregation. So getting that sense of the whole church gathering in Rome, you know, the sacred place, you know, really made holy, consecrated by the blood of the martyrs in the first few centuries, whose witness we really have to thank today for passing the faith on to us, to have that Roman experience, it really brings something special, a different perspective on the church, like you said. And I mean, it's my hope and prayer that when I do come back to Milwaukee in 3 years to be a priest here for the rest of my life, like that memory of Rome will kind of hang with me. Not that I'll escape there all the time, but rather that will influence my ministry here in Milwaukee, kind of the sense that we receive a great gift in being there, but the gift isn't necessarily for us. You know, the gift is to bring back to the people here. So we are simply a bearer of that gift.
Very good. How about you, John? You've been there a little less time than Jacob, but certainly enough time to have some pretty amazing experiences. What are some of those?
Right. Well, I just reiterate what Jacob said about being so close to the Pope, being able to see him almost at our, you know, at our will. But, you know, aside from all that, there's really so much that Rome has to offer in terms of culture, both, you know, the more secular city and, you know, the Vatican scene. Both have very rich experiences that can be had. And just being able to engage in that culture really opens your eyes to the universal church, to the world. And that, for me, has been a great blessing, just to give me a lot of perspective. So that might include, you know, visiting the ancient buildings that are in Rome, you know, walking through history, you know, the different food and aspects of culture that are so unique to Italy. These things are all wonderful and really... it's a great learning experience.
What strikes me is just the sheer volume of churches in Rome. It's amazing. Obviously, not all of those are parish churches, but many of them are shrines with relics of, you know, saints that you've studied and known throughout your life. And all of a sudden, you know, there's the arm of Francis Xavier. There's the relics of St. Lawrence. There's the relics of St. Stephen. It's just so rich with the heritage of our faith. And when you get in touch with that, you just realize both the antiquity of the church, but also the sense that the church has lived through all the storms, challenges, blessings, and persecutions of history, and here it still stands. Here it is. The mystery remains, and only through the sheer power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to take a short break. We're talking with Jacob Strand and John Gibson, two of our theologians preparing for the priesthood for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee at the North American College in Rome. We'll be right back.
Did you know we have a few Marian treasures right here in the Milwaukee area? Why not visit the beautiful and scenic Marian Shrine of the Milwaukee Archdiocese located at 141 North 68th Street, or the Basilica of the National Shrine of Mary, Help of Christians at Holy Hill? These scenic shrines offer a perfect place to relax, reflect, and pray. Brought to you by Senglob Financial for all your financial needs at 262-646-4466. Securities and advisory services offered through Harbor Investments Incorporated.
Sunday, October 10th at 3 p.m. Come support the St. Francis de Sales Seminarians fight for the St. Lawrence Cup. The Catholic seminarians will be battling Neshota House Episcopal Seminary. This third annual flag football game will take place at St. John Military Academy, 1101 Genesee Street in Delafield. Sunday, October 10th at 3 p.m. Fans of both seminaries are invited to pack the stands.
Merle Norman's new Color Max shadows are so dramatic, they've become the go-to shades of Emmy Award-winning makeup artist Patty Ramsey Bortoli, who's been using them on Dancing with the Stars. What's unique about Color Max shadow is its one-swipe application. It's packed with pigment, so what you see in the pan is what you get on the skin, which are rich, jewel-tone, couture colors. Choose from a gorgeous range of vibrant shades. Give your everyday makeup a blast of color with Color Max shadow, now available at Merle Norman Brookfield Square.
New heart, new spirit on Relevant Radio. Once again, Father Don Hyatt.
Welcome back to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. I'm Father Don Hyatt, the rector there. And today we're talking with John Gibson and Jacob Strand, two of our seminarians who are studying for the priesthood and will be ordained in just a few years. And their experience is different than most of our seminarians. They're studying at the North American College in Rome, which is where young men from throughout the United States and Australia, I believe.
That's correct.
Study for the priesthood in the very heart of the church, right next to the Vatican. So welcome back, John and Jacob. It's great to have you with us. We've been talking a lot about your experience in Rome, your call, how you were chosen to go there. Let's just walk through your daily life at the North American. What is a typical day look like from the time you get up to when you go to bed at night? Jacob, how does that work?
Well, it's similar to any other American seminary, to be honest. The North American College is the American seminary in Rome, and some are somewhat confused about that, thinking that we live in a seminary with people from around the whole world. We study with people from around the whole world at our universities, but the seminary we go to is very much like the seminaries around here. So our daily life, you know, begins at 6:15 in the morning. We have to get up and be in the chapel at 6:15 for morning prayer. That lasts for about 15 minutes, and it's followed immediately by the celebration of the Eucharist. We have Mass together. And then after that, we have a nice breakfast. They ship in all the good American cereals for us, so that usually helps, as well as a Skippy peanut butter, because that's one thing it's nearly impossible to find in Rome. But it's hard to have an American seminarian go a day without peanut butter, so that's essential. Great. And then after we, you know, eat a hearty breakfast and get ready for the day, it's off to class. There's three different universities that a majority of the seminarians attend. John and I both attend the Jesuit University, the Gregorian University. Others attend the Dominican University, and others attend one run by Opus Dei. So we go off to the Gregorian University, and usually we have 4 hours of lecture there in the morning. That is followed by Pranzo back at the NAC. The NAC is the North American College, and Pranzo is lunch. So that's a big Italian lunch. In fact, it's their biggest meal of the day. In the afternoon, then, sometimes we have to head back to the university for a seminar in the afternoon or an optional course. Otherwise, it's very likely that we have some sort of formational meeting or apostolate work. Every seminarian has an apostolate at the college, and this apostolate allows them to, you know, get involved in some sort of active ministry while being formed in the seminary at the same time. So then people are all over in the afternoon. Everyone's schedule kind of differs. But then we come back in the evening, and everyone must be in the chapel again at 6:45 for evening prayer, followed by dinner at 7. Nights are often free, although usually we find things to fill them up with in terms of more appointments, meetings, just socializing with friends. Thursday nights, though, are our formation night, and that means that we all, every different grade level, every year of theology, has a separate formation program that they follow on Thursday nights. So that's kind of like the weekly schedule. They keep us pretty busy, but at the same time, we have enough time to enjoy ourselves and to get to spend good time with the brothers and foster good fraternity. Weekends are a little more free. Sundays, we have to be there with a community mass, but then Saturdays, we kind of have some free time, often to travel in Italy or see other places in the city.
It's an intense life. One time I joined you in a soccer game. Different seminarian teams play behind the Vatican, right? Play soccer on Saturdays, is that right?
Yeah.
That's still going on?
Saturday soccer games. John could speak more toward that end. He's one of our best soccer players.
I witnessed the game between the NAC and the Neo-Catechumenal, most of whom were Hispanics. I mean, our team just got wiped because soccer is obviously more natural to Hispanics than to Anglo-Americans, right? John, can you talk a little bit about your classes at the Gregorian? They're in Italian, right?
Right.
How does that work?
Well, we are all required to have some sort of Italian language courses before we start university. And so most of us will go over for a month prior to our beginning at the university to study Italian. Jacob and I were both in Siena for that month, and it's an immersion program, so we do our best to just soak in as much Italian as possible. That, paired with the four-week course that the NAC provides, will hopefully make us efficient enough and proficient enough to pass the course that's required for us to attend the university. And this is particularly the Gregorian. There isn't the Angelicum does have a American track. So for those that are having an especially difficult time with the Italian, they can choose to attend the Angelicum for English courses. But it's definitely a task. It's definitely something that a lot of guys fear and have problems with. But it's a great, great opportunity, especially for us at the Gregorian, to really surrender to Christ and to his will. And as difficult as it might be to understand the lectures or, really trust that you're learning theology, I think you really do have to do just that and trust that the bishops and those that are forming us have put us in a great place of formation, especially at the university. So,
probably gives you an insight into the Hispanics who study theology here in English. I mean, it's tough to study in a second language, but I know both of you do it very well. I know you come home every summer back to the Archdiocese of Milwaukee just to reconnect with the church here, with your family, with your friends. This past summer, what did both of you do? I know you both were in parishes. Can you talk a little bit about that? Jen, you were at...
I was at the Tri-Parish Community of St. Helens, St. Alexander, and St. John Canty, and this was my first formal internship assignment here at the parish. And so I spent about 5 to 6 weeks sort of shadowing the priests around and getting acquainted with parish life, and also had a few days here and there for vacations and meeting with people that I haven't seen over the past year.
It had to be great just to reconnect, with family and friends, and just to just speak English and just to be home, right?
Yes.
And Jacob, you were at, for the second summer, you were at St. Charles in Heartland.
That's right. Yeah, I had a great experience at St. Charles again this summer as I did last summer. It's just really good after being away for a while, you know, involved in more intellectual work, doing a lot of studies, putting in a lot of lonely hours at the desk to kind of get in a parish and just be with the people immersed in their lives, you know, going over to parishioners' houses for dinners, sitting in on meetings, and just getting another taste for what parish ministry is all about, because ultimately that is what we are being formed to do, to be parish priests in Milwaukee that can take on many different varieties, and we know that. But at the same time, us as Dasts and seminarians, I think we all have that great love in our heart just to be with the people and to be a minister of the people in parishes.
Those pastoral experiences probably help you to go back to theology in Italian at the Gregorian with that pastoral perspective. You know, so when you're studying particular things, you could ask yourself, how would I preach about this in the parish? How would I teach a second grader about the Trinity? You know, what is the relevance of this to people that live in Cudahy or North Fond du Lac? And it's just a great perspective to have, that it's not just an intellectual pursuit, but you're integrating it into your life as a future priest. So it's great that you come back, for us selfishly because we get to see you, but I think for you formationally because it really helps you keep that pastoral perspective primary, and that's a great thing. Let's go back to your life in Rome for a moment. You know, when you think of somebody living in Rome, it sounds romantic, it sounds idyllic. You know, the food, the museums, the churches, the Pope, the Vatican, I mean, it's really in many ways a magical city. And I'm sure when friends come to visit you, you show them all those highlights and you kind of become tour guides yourself. Are there any drawbacks to living there? What are some things there that perhaps you struggle with or that you find difficult, Jacob?
Well, I think to survive Rome, one thing every American kind of has to learn is that things, first of all, are not as efficient as they are in the United States. Things aren't as clean, a little more chaotic, but at the same time, there's a certain beauty to it as well. The Italian culture is very laid back in comparison to the American culture that we're used to. So at first, it can be difficult to learn patience, as is required when you go to Rome, because you want things, or we're accustomed to having things done according to schedule, as we scheduled them. But when you go to Rome, you kind of have to learn that sometimes you'll have to be patient, and you also have to be more open to the unexpected, I think, because your things usually don't happen according to schedule.
Yeah, that's right. Jen, what about you? What do you find in Rome to be challenging?
Well, I think I've always had a desire to travel and to see the world, and especially Europe. And I have done so in the past, but I think when you live there, it's a completely different experience, and you really start to appreciate home a little bit more. So having to deal with homesickness is definitely a difficult part of it. But, you know, with the group of seminarians we have, you just kind of have that support to deal with it.
I know you have Skype from your parents' show with us, so that's an amazing, wonderful thing of modern technology. It's a blessing to have both of you studying for the Archdiocese. It's a blessing that you're in Rome. It's a blessing to have you on the show. So please know of our prayers and our support for you, John and Jacob, as you continue to follow in the footsteps of St. Peter and, you know, say yes to Christ and discover in Rome that love of Christ that has called you to the glory of the priesthood. So please know of our prayers and our gratitude.
Thank you, Father, for having us on the show. And please know that we also are, when we're in Rome, praying for all those back here in Milwaukee at the seminary and all those in the Archdiocese. Sometimes we're far away through distance, but our hearts really are close.
Thank you very much. Just a couple updates. We had our Alumni Day on Sunday, September 19th. Tonight, October 1st, is our fall dinner at the Hyatt Regency. I'm sure there's a few open chairs, so if you're hearing the show and you feel moved to come to the dinner, it is at the Hyatt Regency downtown beginning at 5:30. And looking forward to our Institution of Acolyte at the end of October. Please tune in next time, October 15th. We'll be talking about vocation and career as a calling, and we will have CBS 58 news anchor Mike Strelo on to reflect on his experience of being both a journalist and a Catholic. Catholic. So thank you for listening to our show today, and God bless you as we all continue to live the adventure of Christ placing his new heart, new spirit into us.
This week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee has been brought to you by the Senglob Financial Group.
To contact Father Hying, log on to relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword seminary. And be sure to join us next time for This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit on Relevant Radio, 100.1 FM.